This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
Welcome back to the Bet Rivers Cricket Show. It's How's That with me, Ed Hawkins, pro cricket picker, joined as ever by John Wright, former odds compiler and pro picker. John, we're almost at the new mile of the World Cup. How are you feeling?
Yeah. We got two great semi-finals, last four now. So, there's been parts of this World Cup that have been pretty tedious, but there's been some great games. And, hopefully these two semi-finals will live up to expectations and make hopefully the best two teams that get to the final deserve it, Ed.
Yeah, India versus New Zealand is your first semi. That's on Wednesday. Second semi-final is on Thursday. That's Australia versus South Africa. All the best picks coming for those two games coming up. And don't miss those picks, by the way, because we can't stop picking winners on this show. John and I, wins at plus 100, minus 190, plus 300, and a dead heat on top bowler market at plus 300. Last time out on the Bet Rivers Cricket Show. How's that? So keep it here. We're giving you some sound advice. I think that's fair enough to say that as we've made our way through this tournament. John, I'm going to start off with the Bet Rivers futures market before we get into those games and best picks. It's India, as you would expect, favourites to win the tournament at home. They won every single game in the group. Then minus 110, Australia 325, South Africa 375, New Zealand 650, of course, because India play them on Wednesday. Any thoughts on that outright market? And we'll get into detail about whether we can get India beat or not. But India have won nine in a row. As an odds compiler, John, did you ever factor in that bad day at the office coming up? Because they will have one. Just will it be in this tournament?
Yeah, all the cynics online are talking about, you know, New Zealand being India's bogey team, and they're looking back at the Old Trafford match in the 2019 World Cup where New Zealand obviously beat India. So, yeah, I mean, if you look at the form of this World Cup and the fact that although New Zealand probably gave India their hardest game of those nine matches, I mean, you would expect India to win, but I think a lot of the cynics are thinking that this Indian form is too good to be true. If you look at all their batters look in form, their bowling, and we've stressed on this show numerous occasions there, their bowling is definitely on paper and on the pitch has performed far better than any other team in it. So there's no real weak link in this Indian side. So, and they've had a couple of matches where they've come from, from in the Pakistan match they struggled with. There was parts of times when England had them under pressure. And New Zealand as well. So they've won matches where and Australia. I mean, they were three wickets down for two runs when they were chasing Australia's score. So I think, everything leads to India winning this trophy. But I think a lot of the cynics are saying that there's a bad a match to come. And I don't look into that. I just look at the pure form. And I think minus money, India, even at 110, I think it's the right price. But they should be. They should be odds-on favourites to win this tournament, even at this stage.
Yeah. All righty then. Let's have a go finding that winners for you. India versus New Zealand Wednesday. Mumbai is the venue. Bet Rivers money line for that game. Minus 286 India. New Zealand plus 220. You mentioned there, John, at the top of the show, that New Zealand bogey team theory and the 2019 World Cup. And we would be keen to point out the conditions are completely different and that game is irrelevant, A, because it's 4 years ago and it's been played in England. Yeah, New Zealand have lost four of the last four against India in India, and those are all this year. So, I mean, the big question is, John, do you think New Zealand are the wrong price? Do you think India are the right price? What's the play?
I think I think India the right price. If you look back at that 2019 game, the key player in that match was Matt Henry. And obviously Matt Henry's not available for New Zealand. And I think that's the key for me, is that you look at that power play bowling attack from New Zealand. I mean, we've mentioned it on this show again about Trent Bolt, 13 wickets in 9 games and not a lot of power play wickets. So, then you're looking at Southee. Is Southee the same bowler he was previously? Probably not. Lachie Ferguson. You look at that bowling attack without Matt Henry, it relies heavily on the likes of Santner and Bolt. Glenn Phillips is going to turn his arm over. But I do think if you look at the two attacks on paper, India's is far superior. And I do believe that's probably an area where New Zealand are going to miss Matt Henry massively.
Okay. Bolt will be leading the charge then for New Zealand with the ball, we expect. He's returning at about sort of 57% on top bowler for New Zealand. As you mentioned, John, Matt Henry is missing, of course. Hasn't been with the team for some time now. He's gone home injured. So they're not at full strength, that bowling attack. And they're going up against, well, what is statistically the best batting team in the tournament, the highest batting run rate of any team. So they've got it all to do. The Bolt price for top wicket taker, by the way, is plus 250 with BetRivers. And we'll talk about some of these player derivatives in a minute. Just to kick us off, a few prices you'll see on your screen there. Rohit plus 300 top India bat, Conway plus 300 top Kiwi bat. Both those prices are bet on win rates, by the way. I'm going to give you a mention of Virat Kohli for a 50 plus 110, Rohit plus 115 for a 50. And an early pointer from me, Gil, Shubman Gill, Rohit's opening partner, scores of 208 and 112 in those head-to-heads that I mentioned previously against New Zealand this year in India. Some massive scores by him. He's plus 115 for a half century. John, players to follow for India and then the Kiwis, anyone you like?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, you look at all the Indian batters, they're all in form. Even in the last game against the Netherlands, I mean, KL Rahul got 100. They're all in form. They all got runs. And it's very, very hard to see a weak link in that Indian batting attack. So, the bowling is strong as well. I mean, I suppose for New Zealand, we'd have to mention Daryl Mitchell, because Daryl Mitchell got 130 against India. But if you actually look at the score that they got, they've got 270 when they should have posted more than 300. That was their failing in that game. And if you take Daryl Mitchell's score out of that game, you know, there are a lot of batters, the top batters actually failed, which is interesting. Kane Williamson's back in the side. I think he's going to be very, very key. You need your top players to perform in a fixture like this. So, yeah, I mean, as I say, everything leads to India. But as I say, with New Zealand, you know, they've got some key players that can, you know, the likes of your Williamsons, your Phillips, you know, they can play, and Conway, they can play very, very destructive innings. They've done it in the past. And sometimes you only need one player on his day with the bat to take the game away from a side. But I do think India have got all bases covered at the moment. I mean, it's very, very hard to see a weak link in their side. I mean, if you actually look at the seamers are bowling really well. And even in the game against, you know, the Netherlands, if they'd wanted to beat Netherlands by 300 runs, they would have done. You know, in the end, they were bowling, you know, Kohli bowled, Rohit Sharma bowled himself, you know, Sky bowled. I mean, it was almost like a Sunday club game, really. It was almost embarrassing, the margin between the two sides. So, as I say, I think it's going to be interesting, but I think someone in that New Zealand side is going to have a career performance to upset India, I think.
Okay, well, Daryl Mitchell plus 350 needs a career performance there from John. Rachin Ravindra has been absolutely fantastic. Plus 350 top Kiwi bat. Two prices to keep an eye on perhaps for you. We've mentioned Rohit plus 300 for top bat, Conway plus 300 as well. We've talked about Gill. Let's talk about Shami. Mohammed Shami has come into this team. And John, that kind of picks up on those part-time bowlers they use, because we do forget that India's balance has been completely upset by a loss of Hardik Pandya. They're not actually at full strength, but you'd never know it. So they they only have five bowlers, so they are trying to find a sixth bowler perhaps against the Dutch in case they get into trouble. But Shami, 5 and 3 wicket hauls against New Zealand on those head-to-head. So I'll mention him at +275, top bowler. Anything else from you sticking out, John?
No. As I say, I'll be looking to lean towards the key players in this game, and that's why I like Kane Williamson plus all the threes. I think he's probably a little bit of value for New Zealand. I think he's going to have to stand up and get a score in this game. And you mentioned Kohli. I mean Kohli's form. I mean, he's the top run scorer in the tournament. He's got 594 runs. He's got what, 550s and 200s. I mean, he's been in immense form. I mean, probably +275, and in this Indian batting lineup, he's probably a little bit short. But if you actually look, the fact that he's going to come in at three, you know, he's probably going to get first dibs. So if the likes of Gill or Rohit fail, you'd expect Kohli to play that anchor role, have the more sort of expansive hitters play around him, and he could bat 35, 40 overs because he tends to sort of like keep his end going. So probably +275 does seem a bit short, but if you actually look at the stats in the tournament, you know, he's phenomenal. His performance so far.
Yeah, Kohli +110 for a 50. Rohit +115 for a 50. And I've mentioned my tip there, Gill +115 for a half century going on player form against opposition. A bit of housekeeping now. Give us a follow at Because We Win so you can win across all sports, not just cricket. Some great content going up there in soccer and tennis. That's on the platform, which is known as X these days. John Wright is also there at John Wright 15 and myself at Cricket Betting. Do give us some love on the podcast provider of your choice because we want to keep coming back to you with picks on cricket throughout the calendar. And, you know, the Big Bash comes up in December, December 7th. John's already beginning to prep for that one following hot on the heels of a World Cup. Australia versus South Africa is the second semi-final. John is saying this is to play India in the final at Ahmedabad. The second semi-final is Thursday. It's from Eden Gardens in Kolkata, which is lit up beautifully for Diwali at the moment. I don't know if you've seen those pics on the socials. Australia, South Africa, Australia -138. South Africa, 108. South Africa won the head-to-head at the start of this tournament. We're going great guns. May I suggest, though, John, that Australia really come to the party. They've got stronger and stronger. They've really found their balance, beginning to motor. Travis Head's back. They know their best 11. And South Africa have stumbled. What's the shout?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, the impetus is with Australia. If you actually look at Adam Zampa, I mean, Adam Zampa's top wicket taker in this tournament. He's got 22 wickets. If you look at the first two games, he struggled. He went for no wickets for 70 runs in the second game. First game, I think he got one wicket in the second game. But since then, I mean, he has just come to the party, hasn't he? He's got like 21 wickets in the next seven games. He's been their key bowler. The batting has definitely got stronger. I think with South Africa, as you mentioned in the last show, Ed, they probably need to bat in this game. And if you look at the statistics for Calcutta and the four games played, you know, the side batting first has the advantage massively. So I would have thought it probably will turn as well. So I think you'll be looking, South Africa, well, both sides will be looking to bat, I think, in this particular game. I mean, Australia did chase here famously against Afghanistan and that unbelievable knock by Glenn Maxwell got them over the line. But if you actually look at the other games, I think with the exception of the Bangladesh, when Pakistan chased down Bangladesh, I think it definitely suits the side batting first. So I think, and if you actually look at South Africa's stats, the two games where they've got heavily beaten have been games where they've chased. I mean, they chased against India and they got beat, and then they lost the game against the Netherlands, didn't they? I would have suggested that South Africa in this, it's a big toss to win, basically. And I'd only be looking to back South Africa for this game if they actually won the toss and batted. I don't know what you think, Ed.
Yeah, I agree. South Africa bowled out for 83 on this ground against India. Yep. So there'll be demons there. There's demons all over the place for South Africa in this game. It's Australia in a knockout in a World Cup game. And we know the history between the sides. I'd just be very, very surprised if Australia don't come incredibly hard at South Africa here and really stick it up them. And I do fear for South Africa if they do lose that toss and Australia are batting first. I think Australia could well get all over them here. Is it a factor, John, all these years later, we talk about South Africa crumbling under pressure in the big knockout games, but they just keep on doing it. Do you think it really plays on the minds of these South Africa players still? Because they've obviously changed over years.
Yeah,
but they do look so dodgy in a chase, don't they?
They do. Look a totally different side. And I do, as you say, I do fear for them. I mean, I think if they do lose the toss on Australia bat, you know, I think with the likes of Warner and Head at the top of the order, I mean, Mitch Marsh coming in, that innings he got against Bangladesh there was very, very destructive. Mitch Marsh has got a very good record against South Africa as well previously. So I do worry about that. I think if Australia score something in the region of 350, I think, you know, it's a different scenario, isn't it? Chasing as the setting and, you know, South Africa's success in this tournament where they've been very dominant has been, you know, putting a big score on the board and then bowling against it, which, the chasing has been totally different. So, yeah, I do worry about that. And I think, I think Australia's price will definitely shorten. Well, both sides will shorten if they win the toss and bat, I would have thought.
Okay, you mentioned Adam Zampa earlier there, John. I've just got a quick out of the traps pick for him. He's plus 260 for top bowler, and he's returning more than 60% of the time last 2 years. So, you know, he's a fantastic bet on that. But if you just want to have a little bit of a cute play, he's over 39.5 on the player performance market, which is 1 point per run, 10 for a catch, and 20 per wicket. Now, compare that to the minus 134 over 1.5 wickets. May I suggest that the minus 139 on the player performance is it's good value because you got your catches on side and your runs. I don't think he'll probably bat, but it just seems to be the more sensible play. It's essentially the same bet, isn't it?
It is, and I've definitely seen him take an absolute screamer in the deep in one of the games. I'm pretty sure he's definitely fielding. Has definitely improved. I suppose that's off the back of the fact that he's been bowling so well. His fielding's been pretty good. So, yeah, I definitely wouldn't put you off that. And I was amazed, actually. I was amazed that the Bet Rivers prices there didn't have him clear favourite for top. I mean, he was joint favourite with Mitchell Starc in the betting. It's a shame there's not a match between the two, Mitch Starc against Zampa, who will get the most wickets, because I'd definitely be all over Zampa to take more wickets than Mitch Starc. So I'm amazed he wasn't clear favourite for that particular market.
Yeah, it's a good price on Zampa. I suppose those reputations of those Australia bowlers come before them, really, don't they? But we'll probably have a look at top wicket taker and top run scorer markets. We'll come back to that and get that futures market up for you again. Top run scorers in this game, John, de Kock plus 300 for the South Africans, Van der Dussen in great nick, all the threes, Bavuma, who is an injury doubt, plus 375, Warner plus 275 for the Aussies, Mitchell Marsh, all the threes, and then Steve Smith, also all the threes. We've mentioned top wicket taker. For the South Africans, Marco Jansen plus 275 has 11 wickets in six against the Australians this year, but Jared Kutzer has returned. I think he's 8 now in 12. So he's all the threes, and that is a value on win rate. Any guys to pick out of that one before we just go back to have a quick look at those futures markets for top run scorer? And I want to quiz you on Quinton de Kock.
I like Rassie van der Dussen in this game, all the threes. I think that's value. He's in form, as you say, Ed. And if you actually look, I mean, he's been dominant in ODI cricket since he basically started playing. I mean, he came into ODI cricket quite late, but in the last 4 years, I think he's got an average of about 57. He's got 600s. And again, I go back to what I said for the previous semi-final. I think your big players come to the party for the games like this. And South Africa are going to need a player here to bat 35, 40 overs. And I do believe that Rassie could be the man here. I mean, he's got explosive players all around him. It's either going to be him or the skipper, Themba Bavuma. You know, the likes of your Millers, your Klassens, your Quinton de Cox, you know, and even Aidan Markram. I mean, they're really expansive. They go for the shots. But I think South Africa are going to need someone here to bat 35, 40 overs. And I think that could be Rassie. So I like Rassie, Rassie van der Dursten at all the threes. And similarly, at the same price, I think you Mitch Marsh, I mean, he looks, you know, that knock. I mean, he's been in form for a long time, isn't he? Going back to the Ashes. I mean, he's been very, very destructive. And he got runs against South Africa in the series they had before this World Cup. Banging form, I say, big knock against Bangladesh. I like him at all the threes. So that'll be my double, those two players in them. And as I say, with you, I definitely stick with Zampa. Zampa for me should be clear favourite for top Aussie wicket taker. The 260 for me plus 260 is, you should argue, it's probably the wrong price. He definitely should be a lot shorter in my eyes.
Okay, great stuff. Jansen, 10 wickets in 6 against Australia this year. Apologies, not 11. John, if we can, and we can get that screen back to the futures market and the top run scorer market, because we've got another BetRivers tournament futures pick going all the way back to the start of this tournament. John Wright absolutely called Quinton de Kock. He's banging the race, John. He's plus 230 with BetRivers to get the job done. He's on 591. Virat Kohli 594. David Warner plus 1500 there at the fifth position on 499. He needs to play two games basically to get in the reckoning. Are you confident that de Kock manages to get into first place, or what's your view?
But there's no, unlike football tournaments, there's no third and fourth place playoff, which I possibly could have done with here, because as you said, Ed, that Quinton's probably going to have to, they're going to have to win this semi-final, really, for him to trouble Kohli. I mean, you'd like to think that Kohli's going to have two more bats, because I can't see India not qualifying for the final. If Quinton gets a decent knock in this semi-final and South Africa do qualify, then, yeah, he's got a chance. But, I think Kohli is worthy favourite purely for the fact that he's probably guaranteed to get two bats while the other two guys, Davey Warner and Quinton de Kock, you know, they're vying, or one of them's going to bat twice, obviously, but they're not both guaranteed to.
Okay, there you go. Well, that's your BetRivers cricket show. How's that done for the World Cup semi-finals? We think it's looking like India, of course, the home team, to contest that final against Australia if they get that opportunity to bat first. We will be back to preview that World Cup final with all the best picks. So don't miss that one. Good luck with the wagers that we've recommended on this episode. And we'll see you next time on the BetRivers Cricket Show.